We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's Joe Beningo and Evan Roberts on The Fan.
Joe and Evan. Evan and Joe. On WFAN Sports Radio.
All right, 10:05 on the Fan, and a very good Thursday morning to you. The midday show, Joe Beningo, Evan Roberts, 877-337-6666 is the phone number. We're here till 2 o'clock today. Extra hour for you, then CMB will come your way. Dove Kramer, Ernie Acosta on the other side of the glass. We're live from the Black Bear Studio. Delicious Black Bear deli meats and cheeses only at ShopRite. How are you, bro?
How am I?
Yeah. I'm not good today. I don't feel good today at all.
What's the matter?
My stomach's really bad. I'm having one of those really bad stomach days.
And you know what's perfect for that?
What?
An extra hour of radio.
Oh, it's just great.
It worked out well for you.
You know?
Great. Well, it's sunny outside.
That is good. The weather situation actually, it's cold, but the weather situation actually is not bad.
No, it is. It's
which is a good thing.
It's
very cold. I got to spend like an hour in the bathroom, I'm giving you a heads up.
All right.
You never know.
When you're in the bathroom, we'll have Alan Paramus call back.
Please have Al on.
That was something.
I want to ask Al. I really do. Like when Chuck Fairbanks and Dick McPherson, when these guys were like coaching the Patriots, you know, Raymond Berry took them to a Super Bowl. So I don't even know if I want to bring up Raymond Berry, but they've had some terrible coaches over the years. Do you think he was a Patriot fan then? You know, like when Steve Grogan was the quarterback, you know, Babe Parilli, you think that he was like rooting for the Patriots?
I don't know what he was doing, but the Patriots, they give me hope in life because before this
they
era,
were horrible. No, they were brutal.
Yeah, they were nothing
they
special.
Were a lot like the Jets.
Yeah. The Golden State Warriors before this era were nothing special.
Terrible.
We're not talking about the Lakers or the Steelers.
You got to go back to
Cowboys.
Rick Barry for the Warriors.
Yeah. So, that does give me hope that one of the teams we both root for,
or I root for, or you root for,
can eventually turn their franchises around. That could eventually happen. I feel right now, like other than Barry Trotz, who knows what he's doing, I have no coaches or managers who have an idea what's going on.
Well, I like Fizdale.
That's
Fizdale,
you.
Right.
You've got a guy.
Yeah, Fizdale, I think, has got something.
Yes.
I do.
I mean, we all know the deal with Todd Bowles, and he's going to be gone. It is what it is. I think Kenny Atkinson, you've said for a long time Todd Bowles was getting a free pass in this town.
Right.
I have never seen a guy, and maybe it's because it's the Nats, probably is,
a
guy get a bigger free pass than Kenny Atkinson.
Yeah.
That guy has no idea what he's doing.
Yeah.
No idea. I know Mike likes him. I think they're friends.
Well,
you know what, Mike?
What does that mean?
The guy can't coach. I got news for you.
Does that mean
the
something?
Guy can't. Well, not for me.
I mean, what does it mean?
The guy cannot coach. When you can't succeed on an inbound pass night in and night out, when you blow double-digit leads night in and night out, guess who it eventually falls on, Joe? The incompetent head coach.
No question.
And with Mickey Callaway, I'll say this. Because I did watch. I watched because I have the Mike app. I watched Mickey Callaway. Jeff Wilpon.
Oh, did you watch it yesterday?
I did.
Brody Van Wagenen, right?
Brody Van Wagenen.
Who I like, by the way, I must say.
Yeah. I mean, actions
right now,
speak louder
today,
than words.
Today,
but
I like Brody Van Wagenen, and ask me, in 2 years if I like
that's
him.
True. There was a day in which
but right now, I like him.
There was a day I liked Kenny Atkinson.
Right.
So,
that's
things
exactly.
can change.
I never really liked Bowles, so.
That's true. You know what? I've learned something.
What's that?
I am way too, and you're a great example, because you were very early to turn on Todd Bowles. Very early. And I remember at the time I said, I got to give him more time. That was my answer to you. Not that I defended him, but I said, I got to see more.
I understand,
A couple of years ago, Franco and Danbury, if you're listening, Franco, I'm sorry.
I haven't heard from Franco in a long time.
He's still
around. Big net fan. Right.
Franco called in the first year Kenny was here and said to us, he's a terrible head coach. And I said, Franco, it's early.
Right.
They don't have a lot
right.
of talent.
Right.
Let's wait. And you were right about Bowles. And Franco's been right about Kenny.
Yeah,
and I've learned, I'm looking in the mirror, Joe, I'm very nice and patient with these managers and coaches. And maybe I got to stop doing that. Maybe I've got to be a jerk immediately. Right away, I got to say the guy stinks. So Mickey Callaway has no idea how to manage. I'm just doing it right out of the gate. It's been 1 year.
Right.
Can't put a lineup card together. I felt bad because he was talking about that with Mike. And I got to tell you,
the batting out of order deal?
Yeah, he came across very human about that mistake.
Yeah.
And what I hope for from Mickey is that he can learn from what was just a terrible year as manager. And it was more than just him. I think we all understand that. And I think we'd all agree that managing in baseball probably has less of an impact definitely coaching in football.
No question about it.
And I even think coaching in basketball.
Yeah, yeah.
Unless you've got the superstars.
Well, I think also because so much of managing now is you're directed what to do.
Yeah.
It's not, you know, it's not the old days, you know, when it was Earl Weaver or, you know, it was – you know, Lou Piniella, or, you know, even going back to when Casey was managing, or guys like Gil Hodges, when it was all seat of the pants managing. That's not what it is anymore.
No, it's different. I mean, you're basically being told what to do.
Right.
So, and I'm sure that has a lot to do with it, but I definitely think compared to hockey, basketball, and football, the baseball manager just has less of an impact.
I would completely agree with that.
So maybe that's going to give us more time and patience with Mickey Callaway.
Terry eventually had a team that went to the World Series. So,
he did.
You know.
And I always thought with Terry Collins, when they hired him, I thought he was a guy, and I said this on the air to you, that I thought he was brought in to help with some of the young talent, and eventually when the team was ready to win, they'd be a different manager. And that wasn't the case. Terry stuck through it. I mean, he was managing the team that won a pennant, managing the team the following year that made a postseason spot. So he wasn't the caretaker manager that I thought he would be. He turned out to be a manager who got the Mets to a World Series, which, as we know, is a very short list. That's not a long list of managers in the history of this franchise. It's Gil Hodges, it's Yogi Berra, it's Davey Johnson, it's Bobby Valentine, and it's Terry Collins.
That's it. Those are the guys.
It's not a long list. But watching the interview yesterday, I'll give you what I got out of it. I'll give you the good and the bad. You want me to start with the good or the bad?
You know, let's start with the bad.
The bad is they are not signing Bryce Harper or Manny Machado.
Yeah, well, I mean, this is something which is not a surprise.
And Jeff Wilpon, I don't know why Jeff was there, to be honest with you, but Jeff Wilpon said, this is up to Brody. Ask him about Bryce and Manny Machado.
Of course, you're right.
And the way it was phrased by Brody, who I agree with you, I do like. I do.
Yeah,
I really like him.
I do.
Brody said, there's no offer out there right now. We'd have to be really creative the financial restraints.
I read that line in a paper today.
And to me, that's just simply, it ain't happening. And what bothers me is not that I think the Mets should be the Yankees. I've never suggested that. Or the Red Sox. I just want them to be the Phillies or the Nationals. And those are teams that will be competing for Manny Machado, Bryce Harper, in the Nats case, bringing back Bryce Harper. And so the issue I have, and I can't say I speak for every Met fan, I can't say that, I can speak for myself, is not that they're a small market team, because they do spend more than a small market team, but they're not spending the way they used to. I'm sorry. This is not, they're just not the Yankees, get over it. No one's saying they're the Yankees.
Right.
But they're not spending like an aggressive New York market team should. And I thought yesterday was frustrating because it was confirmed. And I know we all know it, but it sucks to hear it confirmed. Now, I think Brody is still going to be aggressive, and I still think the Mets are going to spend. They will. They're just not going to spend the way, A, they should, and the way you and I hope they will.
Right, right.
And that was the negative.
Yeah.
And it's a cold, hard reality. And it's very, very frustrating as a fan of this team who has seen them spend like a big market team.
Sure.
Pre-Bernie Madoff, they spent
they
the way they should.
They did.
Johan and Beltran and Pedro.
Yep.
That's just not the world we live in anymore, and it's frustrating.
They even spent on Jason Bay.
They didn't spend that much on Jason Bay. I disagree. Matt Holliday cost more, and he was better, and they should have signed him.
Yeah.
So I don't even agree with that. But the Santana belt, they did. Piazza, even though that was a Nelson Doubleday thing.
Right.
They did. And I would just love to know what's changed. That's what I want to know.
Well, let's see what he does the rest of the way, Van Wagenen. I mean, maybe he signs A.J. Pollock. Maybe they do make a deal. It doesn't sound like they're going to make a deal for Realmuto. They want too much. And I agree. I'm not giving up, you know, Rosario, Conforto, Nimmo, you know, two of those three guys. It's probably too much for him. But let's see what Van Wagenen does. Let's see what the guy does.
Well, I think Van Wagenen is going to do things. I think
I don't think there's any question
about
that.
I'll say it again. I think they're going to spend. I just don't think they're spending on the items you and I want. Like, I'll give you my prediction.
Okay.
I think they're going to sign A.J. Pollock.
Yeah, and I think that's a good one.
I think they're going to get him at either 3 or 4 years, at about between $15 and $18 million a year, which I admit is spending. But is it the generational talent?
No.
And Brody said, these guys are generational talent.
Yeah. That's exactly the words.
Then if they're generational talent, and Brody knows this better than anybody who is an agent, and it's rare for generational talent to become free agents, why wouldn't you be creative or, dare I say, Jeff, raise the budget to bring in a guy like that? Because they are generational talent.
Yeah. Now, look, you don't have to sell me, man. I'm sold on those guys. Bring them in. Huh? You know I want them. You know.
But I do believe they will spend. I think they'll sign a reliever, probably two. I think one of the items will be on the more expensive side. Like, I could see him signing Andrew Miller, 3 years, $45 million. I could see them signing A.J. Pollock. I can see them doing something creative via trade. I don't think it'll be Real Muto. We've talked about that. You laid it out perfectly. They don't have enough.
Nope.
So I don't think the Mets are going to have this offseason that's going to depress us by any stretch. I think it's, we're going to walk away from it saying that was a good offseason.
You never know.
But it's not going to be good enough, and I think that's the part that still leaves a little emptiness in me.
You know what would excite me?
Go ahead.
This is crazy. If somehow they got Corey Kluber to go with the rotation they got now, I'd be excited by that.
I think okay, let me lay out a scenario.
Yeah.
Got called in yesterday.
Right, as long as they're not trading, of course, Syndergaard, which doesn't sound like it's going
to
happen.
No, he said he wants to add to it.
Right.
Guy called in yesterday and very innocuously said, hey, what do you guys think of Nick Markakis?
I like Numbo. I like Markakis.
Nick Markakis makes sense to replace Brandon Nimmo, who I think is going to have to be a chip.
Okay.
That's because
to get Kluber.
To get a guy like Kluber. Maybe it's Trevor Bauer. Maybe it's Carlos Carrasco. I think they're working on an extension with Carrasco. I thought I read that the other day. But I would love something like that. And I think there's a chance, Joe, that they could have an offseason that excites you and me. I'm not saying they're not. I'm merely saying they're not getting the big-ticket item that you've screamed about for a year.
Yeah, well.
And I think it sucks. And I still don't think we as fans have an answer on why. We don't. We just have these are our restraints. Well, why? Because pre-Bernie Madoff, didn't seem like there were that many restraints, Joe. They signed Carlos Beltran. They traded for a big contract in Carlos Delgado. They traded and signed Johan Santana. So what's happened between then and now? Now, I guess what we can do is just forget this and just move on and just focus on what they're going to do, which is a good idea you mentioned. Hey, can they package Nimmo for Corey Kluber?
Yeah.
Can they
That would
sign...
excite me. That would be an unbelievable rotation if you got Kluber as like your second or even third starter. I mean, think about that.
No question.
That's unbelievable.
And you've got him signed for 3 years.
Yeah.
You just have to wonder, what does he have left? Is he a guy?
Well, how is he, 32?
33 is and he? A lot of innings underneath
well,
him.
Well, still, but you're not bringing him in to be the ace of the staff either.
No,
that's the thing I like about
him. And he's
him.
Not making a crazy amount of money. He's making about $14 million a year, which is pretty good. Kluber's making, he's 33. He's had five straight 200-inning seasons, which on one breath is great because that means he's been durable. The negative is, well, he's got a lot of innings on his arm. But he's making $13 million this year, 13.5, and then $14 million. So he's making a very reasonable amount of money.
Right.
Probably less than Jacob DeGrom is about to make.
And just think they'll have like three Cy Young Award winners on his staff when Syndergaard wins his.
That's right. That's right.
There you go.
Yeah, I think it's possible. I mean, if the Indians are looking for a controllable outfielder, the Mets can offer that. They've got two of them.
No, that's true.
And you can easily replace a Brandon Nimmo by getting Markakis on hopefully just a one-year contract.
I like Markakis a lot. I mean, he just annihilated the Mets last year. He had a tremendous year.
Well, he had the best year of his career.
Yeah, he had a tremendous year. Yeah, he really did.
So I think the Mets are going to have an offseason. I really do. I don't know if it's going to be Kluber, by the way, but I think they're going to have an offseason that you're going to be happy about, that I'm going to be happy about. But
we'll see. Then they got to win.
But there's an emptiness that there's still not.
Well, they got to win.
Acting like the big market
team. They got to go out and win. I mean, the bottom line is, they got to go out and win. That's it.
And they could win by not signing Manny or Bryce.
Of course.
But it was sobering. Yeah, it's one of those things where you always hope, you always try to talk yourself into thinking, maybe things are going to change. Brody's going to sell Jeff on spend more money, go get a big ticket item. And it just kind of.
Did Jeff say anything yesterday?
No.
Or did just Mickey and Brody
honestly, Jeff, there was no point of him being here, in my opinion. I'm just saying that as a fan. Well, like, there was nothing. I didn't care. Because he didn't say anything. It was just like, go talk to Brody.
That's what he said, huh?
Which I like in that he's the GM, but when it comes to budget stuff, when it comes to, well, why not? Why wouldn't you do that? He's really the only guy that can answer
that. Well, of course. And he's not.
No, and he's not. But overall, am I optimistic about the Met future? Yeah. No, I am. I'm not trying to tell you I'm all negative. I'm just negative about that one thing, and that one thing is frustrating, and I think it frustrates you. You don't seem frustrated now, but I think over time you are frustrated.
I'm frustrated about everything right now.
everything.
But I'm even frustrated. I'm looking at this on TV, and we got to change this. This is not NFL Network, and I'm not going to say the show it is.
I'm going to change.
Just look what it says. It says, should Josh McDaniel consider the Packer job? Well, I would put it the other way. Should the Packers consider Josh McDaniel? What do you mean, should he? Who the hell is Josh McDaniel?
He's the guy who took a job and then said, forget it.
And he dumped on the Colts, who probably are better off that they got Frank Reich as the head coach there. I mean, what is that? What has he done?
If I'm a team,
I mean, really,
I would be afraid of Josh McDaniel because of the fact that he did what he did to Indianapolis.
Without a doubt.
I'd be afraid of that.
Without a doubt, I would be.
We'll talk more football coming up. We'll talk to both our Jet and Giant guys, Paul DeTino, the latest on Landon Collins and his injury, Brian Costello on the Jets. John Heyman will join us in his weekly spot.
DeTino, right? When DeTino coming on?
Paul DeTino, yeah. Man, she'll talk Giants with him.
Did you? I'm lost.
It's all right.
I told you, I'm not great today. It's not a good day. It's a bad hair day. Not that my hair's bad.
Your hair looks good.
No, my hair's fine. It's just that it's like, you know, the rest of me's not.
No, I get it. But look at it's a Thursday, which is almost a Friday.
Thursday, almost a Friday is a good thing.
That's right.
No doubt. So, you know.
And Brody's the Met GM.
Although Bowles is still here.
That's
which is not good.
Your basketball team didn't blow a 23-point game last night.
Even if they did, I wouldn't be that upset about it.
I wish I had your attitude.
What I mean? And they're playing the Celtics tonight, so like in Boston, so I'm sure they're going to have a little revenge for the Knicks beating them the last time there.
Nah, you would think so.
You would.
And also, throughout the show today, Pinstripe Bowl tickets.
Oh, my God.
It's a good game.
Miami, Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Not bad.
Not too shabby.
To you.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.